I'm just eating a bit of Twix.
Twix, a sticky Twix, pre-record.
I've just popped
Listen,
it.
Listen, mate, that is some BS, bro.
I had some hot salsa and some crisps, some chipotle and lime flavoured fancy branded crisps. I thought the hot salsa would kind of make my mouth all nice and soft, and then it could eat the Twix.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think the salsa would soften the palate. I think if anything, the sticky salsa plus crisp would kind of create a kind of crunchy affair. And then if you follow that up with a Twix, you're gonna be all mouth sticky.
I mean, it wasn't sticky salsa, it's hot salsa. It's very, very wet.
Well, very it's not. I mean, wet. It's viscous, isn't it? That's the thing with any liquid that's thicker than water can be classified as viscous. Milk, viscous. Yeah?
Keep going. I thought you were going to say more liquids.
You want me to say more thick liquids?
Come on.
Mayonnaise. I mean, mayonnaise is right in the middle between liquid and solid, isn't it? What do you think?
I mean, if you can, without too much of a squeeze, squeeze the sauce into your mouth. Like, you can squeeze ketchup or a salad cream.
Yes.
I think a mayo, I know it comes in those squeezy bottles now, it's going to require a little bit of heft.
That's the thing, because squeezy mayo, very different, isn't it? I swear it's a different product, or it's just stored in a different way, because the mayo in the jar, spoon mayo, that's like jelly, man. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not like, is it solid or liquid, mayo? I don't think there's a wrong answer. I think maybe it says something about you.
I know, that's why I was really thinking about it. And this time, yeah. I'm gonna answer, and I'm not gonna make a big deal about it. Go, how dare you ask me that question? How dare you make me put my reputation on the line by answering the question, mayo, liquid or solid? I'm happy to say. I don't know why you keep pushing me as if I'm not happy to say, when I am, in actual fact, happy to say.
It sounds like you're buying time.
It does sound like that, but that's just to your cynical ears.
Yeah.
To my mind, I'm just kind of clarifying, making sure that everyone knows what's going on. And
dun, dun. Dun, dun. Dun, dun.
I'm going to go with my gut here.
Dun, dun.
And I'm going to say mayo. Mayo. The mayo, spoon mayo. Let's be clear.
Stop
again.
Caveating. Is mayo liquid or solid?
Mayo's a liquid.
Okay.
I'm going to say it.
You've caved, man. No, you caved there. I knew you wanted to go with solid, and you caved at the last minute.
It's not caving. It's actually looking at the stone cold facts of the day. And if you can squeeze something out of a bottle, you could swim in a pool of mayo.
I don't think you could swim in a pool of mayo.
You could swim in a pool of mayo.
I don't think you could do that.
Okay.
I mean, swim. I think you could move through it, but I don't think, like, you can move through mud, but you can't swim in mud.
Well, what is moving through a liquid other than swimming? I think it's one of the great philosophical questions of our time. Like, you know, sand, you could kind of move through maybe a pool of sand,
yeah,
loose sand, not tightly packed sand. You're not swimming in sand. But then that's obviously, sand is very much solid, isn't it? It's made up of tiny little grains of solid sand.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where I was going with sand. do you only think you can, what if I'm walking through a swim, like a, you know, when you like pretend to run through water that's not swimming, is it? Is that swimming?
No, that's not swimming, because you tend to be walking along the bottom.
But you're in water, aren't you?
Yeah, but it's walking. Like when you walk in the sea and we're just where the tide laps up across the shoreline and you walk in it, and even if it's up to your knees, you wouldn't call that swimming.
No, but if you're chest high and you're doing that kind of fun, and you know when it's fun and you're pretending like you're running in slow motion.
Yeah.
Do you know the thing I mean?
I know the thing you mean. I've done it for sure. I enjoy it.
I'm glad you, because I felt like a bit alone there for a minute.
Yeah. No, everyone does that.
Great. I want to be like everyone else.
That's why you said liquid instead of solid.
You see, no, because you're now casting aspersions on my character based on my mayo answer. And I just don't think that's fair, because you're suggesting that it speaks to a lack of backbone, a liquid backbone, mm-hmm. a mayo backbone. I haven't got a backbone of mayo. I'm a man of my own thoughts, you know, and I just think there's enough movement in mayo for it to be considered a liquid.
I think you're correct. I've just Googled it. Is mayonnaise a solid or a liquid? Physically, it is a liquid. It flows to fill its container. More properly, it's a colloid, specifically an emulsion of fat and water.
You're a colloid.
I'm a colloid, yeah. I'm 99% colloid.
Hello, and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host, Adam Richmond, and joining me as ever, it's Mr. Joe Devine. Now, usually I'd just launch straight into the movie.
Yeah.
But you know what occurred to me? And I know you do know, because it occurred to us together at the same time when we were at the pub. But just say yeah. Just
oh yeah.
This is episode 20 something ish.
Yeah.
And we've been live in the old in podcast land for about 8 episodes now. I think most recently, the most recent episode to clarify, Nolan time. It's
The Recruit, and The Diving Bell and The Butterfly goes out tomorrow as we speak.
There you go. So then now when people listen to this, they'll then be able to reflect back on time as to who they were when they listened to The Recruit.
Yeah.
And we've not really spoken, because we did a big chunk because we wanted to get ahead. I've not really thought of people listening to these. But now, obviously, like, people are, and you've been getting some nice tweets from people, some lovely people wanted to start following me on Letterboxd. Early doors, a chap called Nathan, he was right on there, and he actually tags his reviews. He's kind of watching along, which I think's lovely.
Pretty cool.
So, you know, hello to Nathan. And, you know, if you follow me on Letterboxd, I will follow you back. Username Error of Ways. You can email us, moviesyouforgot@gmail.com. I mean, don't send horrible things.
No, don't do that.
But like suggestions, try and, if you could catch us out, we might end up doing a listener recommendation. If we've got things wrong, do flag it up, and we might do a little things we got wrong section, because I know I've got things wrong in the cut and thrust of a podcast record. So yeah, just thought, I don't know, and follow Joe on Twitter. I mean, it's not called that anymore, but you know what I mean.
You can find me by searching for me, Joe Devine Twitter on Google, because that's how big a deal I am. Oh, we have emails.
Should we do an email section?
First email from Gabriel Stratford. Gabriel Stratford says, "Hi guys, early days, but a fan of the podcast so far. Looking forward to more episodes. Although I do think Adam is pretentious and arrogant." No, he didn't say that bit. "Watched a bonkers movie the other day called The Game, directed by David Fincher and starring Michael Douglas. Hopefully you might have seen this one, but forgotten, as I think it would generate some interesting discussion. The game. Okay. I mean, first bad thing about reacting live, I guess if one of us had seen that, we could have added it to our list.
No, I think this should count as like, we'll do bonus non-canon episodes.
Yeah.
Because if you said The Game to me, I probably wouldn't let it fly. I really like The Game. I think it's good.
Right, yeah.
And I probably rewatched it too recently. But I think if you've... It kind of is in this wheelhouse.
I've never seen it.
Fuck's sake.
Sorry, Gabriel.
Gabriel, that's a really good shout. I think it's it's slightly bonkers. It was massively underrated when it came out. And I think it's really good fun, really well made. And it's kind of got a fun, slightly silly ending. So yeah, unfortunately Joe hasn't seen it, so we can't do it.
Sorry, Gabriel. Now, we have an email from Rodri Rees here. Rodri Rees, with two first names, One, Michael Bay is a cheese string. I can't remember what we asked for, but he has responded in exactly the format that we asked.
That's fantastic. Michael Bay is a cheese. It's cheeses as direct. What directors relate to what cheese? Michael Bay is a cheese string. So Rodri Reese, he smashed it.
Yeah. And then he's put 2A, Chandler, 2B, Chandler. So I think that was, who is the funniest in Friends? And then who do you think people are going to say is the funniest in Friends?
There you go. That's one in the old Rich Mondo column. Thank you.
Well done, Rodri Reese. Point three, The Good Dinosaur or Date Night?
Oh. Have you seen either of those? These are really good. Those are great, great suggestions.
The Good Dinosaur.
Date Night. I feel like I did what... Date Night's perfect. Good Dinosaur as well, actually. Because
I haven't seen The Good Dinosaur. I've seen Dinosaur.
Again, sorry. Joe hasn't seen it.
Sorry, Rodri.
Steve Carell. Have you seen the Steve Carell?
Carell and Faye. No, I haven't seen that film, unfortunately, no.
I mean, the emailers are going to... They're coming up against my problem in that you haven't seen anything.
That's right. But there are more, and there's more suggestions here too. I mean, Kieran Charnock has emailed in with, again, perfect formatting. Absolutely impeccable formatting from Kieran. Stilton, DiCaprio needs to be paired with something bland. That's point one from Kieran.
I tell you, well, listen, that's excellent. You know, there's a cheese, there's an actor, and there's a lovely... I don't know if that's true, but it sounds true.
Yeah, it does sound true, and that's the best kind of comment.
It's a great pitch, and it goes in the cheese dictionary now. That's in.
Okay, DiCaprio is Stilton. 2A, Joey, brackets divine is mental. 2B, maybe Chandler, no one says Ross. Yeah?
Oh, please. Yes, please. You see, this is, you know, when I was crumbling on the inside outside a pub, and now I'm cock of the walk.
Oh, mate, you're going to get cocky very shortly as well. After I tell you that point number three is Hudson Hawk, which is a suggestion. Haven't seen it, can't help you.
I saw that around, I think I was eight or so, and it's too mad and silly and shit to forget. But it's a good, again, I would definitely do it if you'd seen it. But
Well, alas. But Kieran Charnock signs off by saying, enjoy the pod, gents. Which is not clear whether he means he enjoys it or he wants us to enjoy it. But either way, that's lovely. Does Adam do anything else? Question mark.
What, in life?
The answer's no.
Hang on a sec. No, he's asked me a question now. I get to talk about me.
Well, actually, he's asked me the question because he says, does Adam do anything else? And he wouldn't say to you, does Adam do anything else? Unless he was talking to you in a weird, like, babying third person voice.
Does Adam do anything else?
Does Adam do anything else? Yes? Yes? Exactly. Okay, so he's asked me the question, and my answer was no. But what if I were to ask you the question? Do you do anything else? Is the answer yes?
I mean, I do, but not in how he thinks. I think he
right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, what he probably means, yeah.
It's like, do I do other podcasts or do I?
Is there any other way that he can interact with you through the internet? I mean, you do reviews on Letterboxd. I suppose.
There's no suppose about it, mate. I review, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and I tell you what, I do not cut anyone any slack on there. I give everything two barrels.
Yeah.
Everything, yeah. Both barrels, two of them.
Okay, yeah, all four barrels.
On today's episode, we are talking about the 2008 Doug Liman action flick, Jumper. It's a sweet, sweet 88 mins on the runtime. Tell you what, I loved seeing that.
I like that too.
And then on reflection, I didn't like that.
Yes.
Here's the Letterboxd rundown. Anywhere is possible. David Rice is a man who knows no boundaries. A jumper. Born with the uncanny ability to teleport instantly to anywhere on Earth. When he discovers others like himself, David is thrust into a dangerous and bloodthirsty war while being hunted by a sinister and determined group of zealots who have sworn to destroy all jumpers and sweaters too. That's just a little joke. Now David's extraordinary gift may be his only hope for survival. And that's that. Let's get into this. When you suggested this last week, I thought, okay, I definitely don't remember a thing about this movie. I can rewatch this. And I'm so angry at you for having to watch this again. I thought that when I saw something really bad, that I was like, oh yeah, no, that's a real stinker. Put that in the stink pile. But I think I saw this around the time it came out. I definitely didn't see it in the cinema, but I would have seen it maybe 2010 on DVD. I mean, I forgot that Jamie Bell and Samuel L. Jackson was in this film.
Yeah, yeah. What about Rachel Bilson? Did you forget about her?
I did, yeah, forgot about her. So I'm kind of livid. I was like 88 minutes. It feels like it's 2 hours long. It's so boring. Why did you suggest this? When did you last see it?
Well, weirdly, even though I agree with basically everything you've said, I've seen this film a number of times, and there's something about it which is a bit moorish for me. I wonder if it's just the time in my life when it came out, a little impressionable. Love the idea of teleporting, by the way. I mean, you know, 17 years old, I'm still in secondary school. So the idea of teleporting all the way across the world just for a moment to go and hang out by the Eiffel Tower, that felt very, I guess, meaningful to me. And maybe in that sense, the concept of the film is quite a strong one. And so I've never forgotten this film. I kind of remember almost everything about it. And I agree with you. Every time I watch it, I think, well, this is trash. This is not a good film. I don't know why it's compelling to me, but there's something very strongly linking me to it.
We're not going to talk about this film that much.
Sure.
But, you know, the storytelling is appalling. It's really odd that it's so badly done. I mean, there's a fantastic making-of documentary called Jumper Uncensored. Mm. And I would implore everyone to not rewatch Jumper or even watch it, but do watch the 30-minute documentary, because it's a great window into why Hollywood films can end up like this.
Yeah.
I mean, it begins with Doug Liman, the director, sort of saying, oh, I got the script, I loved it, and then I set about rewriting everything in it.
The script that I read from David Goyer, an incredible writer, was so fresh, got me immediately interested in the movie. But like many of my projects, probably the first thing I do when I get in there is just rip the whole thing apart. But I can't help it. Fresh.
What are you talking about? Now, this is a superhero film,
mm-hmm.
But really...
Essentially.
I thought that. But it's really a... Yeah, it's a fantasy about what if. What if you had the power? And my problem with it is it doesn't ask any questions about, like, an existential question about what would it be like if you had this power to jump?
Yeah.
That's the great thing about, you know, any superhero film that is great deals with the fallout and the existential issues of that power.
Yes.
This film couldn't care less.
No.
About that.
Well, it gifts that to the enemies of the jumpers, who are called what are they called?
Paladins.
The Paladins. The Paladins just say, well, we kill the jumpers. And the jumpers say, why? And they say, well, I don't know, we just always have, you know, and, you know, you shouldn't be allowed to have the power, so we basically just always have. And then through history, we've been doing that, and we're just going to carry on doing that. And then that's it. No one ever asks why.
Yeah, so you tell me, okay, you're writing this story.
Yeah.
You're a teenage boy.
Yeah.
You would love to have jumped. You know, what's the existential fallout of this?
I mean, there's a couple of different ways of doing it, right? If you were able to change the rules, I would suggest something like every time he jumps, time moves a little bit, right? What if you could go, you could teleport anywhere in the world that you wanted to, and you would remain the same age you were a second before, But the jump actually takes as long as it would have taken for you to get there anyway, right? So every time you jump, a little month is added here, a few days added there, you know? That would be quite fun. There would be a cost, you know? You would have a decision to make. It would be like there can't be a finite number, an infinite number of jumps for that reason. And then that would create a little bit of existential worry there.
Oh, man, can you hear that sound? That is the sound, the sweet, sweet sound of a hammer finding a nail. So often you do these days.
Make it again. Make that sound with your mouth.
It's you know, you get Rian Johnson to direct that, early doors, post Looper. I'm wolfing that down.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's got Nolan vibes to it.
And of course, in order to save the day at the end of the film, the protagonist must make a decision which is against his best interests, but will save the world. He'll save the world for the people that he loves and the people that he needs to protect in that moment, but it will cost him everyone that he's ever known.
Exactly. This film can't be bothered to make its hero, like, make any choice. He doesn't have to lose anything. He doesn't have to choose between his powers or love. It's just it's a teenage fantasy, and it's just completely facile. And he goes from a cuck to a cunt.
That documentary honestly made me not ever want to make a film.
It shows you so all this effort that has gone into this to making a film, and this is what's so fascinating about it. It starts with this amazing title card, which says, like, basically alludes to all the trouble that the production went under.
Yeah.
Jamie Bell is hilarious in it. He's just constantly walking around. He's like sitting around going, I just sit around all day,
yeah,
just waiting for my scene, and then it doesn't even happen.
Jamie.
What?
Tell me about your time.
What time?
How is your
the time for me getting picked up from the hotel at 11:30, and then it's fucking 4:30, and I have done fucking shit? That time, or maybe about the time, maybe when I came in yesterday, when they're like, oh yeah, we really need to cut and color your hair, it's been so long, so we're going to pick you up at 10:30. And I don't know, maybe we'll put you in a chair and get your hair done at like 6:30, 7. When the fucking cast are wrapped, when the crew is wrapped, and I'm there in the chair at 8 p.m. And then I have to fucking wait for the director to get in the car so that I can go back to my hotel? Fuck that, man. Fuck that, man. Fuck that, man. Fuck that, man.
It's annoying as hell. It's so annoying.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Going back to Jamie Bell. So he's on this film shooting it for like over a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, right, you were filming, your whole life was like being on a film set, filming one film that never seemed to end.
Yeah.
What film would you want to be stuck filming forever? Like it would be frustrating, it wouldn't all be gravy, but like that's it. You're on the various film sets it's got. You're with those people for basically maybe, let's say, 10 years of your life.
Yeah.
And you don't even know when it's going
to
end.
Yeah. Okay. I think it would need to be a comedy film. I need to be around people that, you know, will be able to have fun as they do their work. Maybe
Anchorman?
I don't know.
Is it too obvious?
It's the one that was in my head, and I was trying to think of a different one. I was trying to think of this a different film.
No, you can see you're making the Mayo mistake.
I'm making the Mayo mistake.
You want to sound cool.
It's not that I want to sound cool, it's just that I'm thinking, like, is being around, like, Will Ferrell for 10 years as Ron Burgundy, is that, how long is that going to be funny for, you know?
Well, no, he's Will Ferrell in between takes.
Oh, I got it. I've got a better answer. Do you remember that Willem Dafoe film, The Hunter?
I do. You gave it on the list film.
I really like that film. And also it's shot in New Zealand, which is a little bit Lord of the Ringsy anyway. I could have said Lord of the Rings, but I don't want to hang around with orcs and such. But if you have to be somewhere for 10 years and the set is there and I just get to live in New Zealand for 10 years and hang out with Willem Dafoe, I think that would be okay. I think I could do that. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of treating this like a bloody holiday.
I mean, I've gamed the system. Yeah, I've thought, where do I want to go, and where is it? What's a film that's filmed there?
Yeah, I mean, which,
like, the beach. I'll hang out in Thailand on the beach for 10 years. I mean, I don't like the beach, so I wouldn't do that. But you know what I mean.
You don't have to like the film for this game.
No. I like the film, The Beach. I don't like the beach.
Sorry, what? You don't like the beach?
I don't like sand.
What's you don't like the film The Beach? It's really good.
No, I like the film The Beach. Don't you dare mess around with my emotions about the film The Beach. We're still... Listen, we're going to do The Beach at some point. I'm going to get you with The Beach. I'm just leaving a little Moby gap between between Bourne and The Beach. But we're coming back to The Beach. You believe me.
Mate, the door is open to The Beach, mate. You can get me on The Beach any which way but loose.
I'm going
to
get you on The Beach.
Yeah, it just speaks to your personality again. Like, you don't want to engage with the game properly. You want to game the system.
I want to game the game, yeah.
Game the game.
Well, you answer your own question. Hypocrite.
Oh, my God. You've just picked the one word that really, really, like...
Oh, sorry.
...actually kind of... No, but you knew that.
I know, but the thing is, I felt got at. I felt like you were getting me by suggesting that I always game the game. And then I was
potatoes,
like, well...
Potatoes. you want to be with one of the great directors for starters.
Wouldn't that be a bit intense? Do you really want that?
Maybe. I guess part of it is you're kind of, this is supposed to be hell. Okay, not a treat.
Yeah.
So that's, I think part of the game is revealing which hell do you want to be a part of.
You should do Harry Potter. That took 10 years anyway, right?
No, you do Harry Potter. I don't want to... I mean,
okay, I'll do Harry Potter. I'll be Harry Potter.
Yeah, you'd fit. You look.
Do you think?
You look like Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, just a really big version.
Yeah, then they have to find a 5x size of Hagrid to make the scenes work.
I could be Mega Dan. I really like that.
Where's a good? Because it should be slightly. It should be kind of slightly chaotic and shambolic and fun.
Right.
So kind of, I guess I'm thinking like pick something that was quite chaotic and crazy in the first place. Like something like Bonfire of the Vanities, this kind of famed like shit show of a production.
Right. Can I shock you?
You've never heard of it and never seen it.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you said Bonfire of the Vampires. Do you want to play the box office game?
Box office. Box office. Yeah, I'd love to play the box office game.
Okay, I'm really excited to play the box office game for Jumper because I think you're going to have a hard time. And I wouldn't really have any idea how to do this, but maybe you will. So let's start with budget for Jumper.
I mean, because it was it was so troubled. They spent so much money on this film. There is... You know, for everything I said how bad it was, it does have a couple of really great visual moments in. There's a fantastic moment where they jump a bus and it appears out of nowhere in the desert. Mm. And it's a great moment in the making of documentary because they did that for real.
Yeah.
Doug Liman is banging on, I'm out. Oh, we don't want CGI. I want to do these things for real. And it's a fantastic sequence, and then it kind of really hammers home of like they went all this trouble for this.
Yeah.
So this is going well over budget, and it would have already cost a pretty penny, I'd say. I'm going to say, let's say 100 mil.
The estimated budget is $85 million.
Okay. I've over-egged.
But then maybe we over-egged on the basis of thinking, well, they filmed for 4 months before recasting the film. So, you know, I understand that. Now, listen, let's do opening weekend US and Canada. This was a February release, by the way.
I mean, I think this died, man. This would have died on its ass. 85 mil. I mean, back in 20, like some, maybe 20 would have been really good for this. 20, 25.
So that would have been a really good one.
I think so.
Okay, so what do you think then?
So like maybe makes 10.
Well, I'll tell you what, Adam Richmond, it's done better than what would have been good. It made $27.5 million in its opening weekend.
I mean, it's a quarter of the budget, and you know they've spent at least double, if not half, on the marketing.
Sure. But I mean, you know, I think based on box office games so far, forgetting about the number itself, a quarter of the budget. I mean, it's the third of the budget. It's not a quarter of the budget. They made a third of the budget back on the opening weekend. I think that's quite good.
Maybe. I don't know enough about budgets. And I mean, I have, yeah, as this game sometimes reveals.
Well, did it sustain? That's the next question. With gross worldwide, can it sustain that?
I mean, no way. The reviews would have panned this to pants. Mm. But around the world, people are probably having a little bite, nibbling away.
People love a sub 90-minute film.
Yeah. Okay, let's say it made 120.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you want to guess again? I'll give you one more guess.
No. You do this. Like, I don't mind if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to... These, you know, you're not playing that game with me anymore.
What game?
I mean, you can play with one, but you can try, but I'm not playing the game. Okay. I'm just going to say the number, okay. And you can say, oh, you're well off, mate, or whatever.
Can I introduce a new game? Just a quick one.
I mean, if you think it's needed.
The new game would be this. We've locked in your original answer of $120 million, so that can't change, and that is what we'll be judging this based off of, right? But if I were to say... have a guess now, just a shadow guess about what it would be, given that you know that that's not it because of what I've said and everything. What would you guess?
No, because you're a liar. I don't believe you.
You think it's... Oh, you think I'm trying to get you to move away from... I did do that to you last week, didn't I?
Right, yeah, you've got no credit,
no,
mate.
I've got no credit in the bank.
You've called me pretentious and you're a liar. So, you know... Because what I'll do is I'll give another guess and then you'll go,
it was 120, right. You idiot. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the sort of person you are. And you don't want to be that sort of person, but you are deep down.
Yeah.
And so, like.
No, the wrong way around. I am on the shallow, but deep down, I'm not.
Okay, well, why do you keep doing it then?
I didn't do it because the gross worldwide was $225 million.
No, but last week you did it.
Yeah, I'm not even going to react to that.
No, I'm happy with that. I don't. I'm 100 out.
No, it's not about you or being out or not. I meant more that. Hey, man, the film made some money.
Yeah, you know, thickos be thick. Like, what are you gonna do
when you got me watching it five times? Yeah.
You know what? I don't want to forget this film. I want to remember it,
so that you never have to watch it again.
Hey, listen. Don't say why.
My bad.
You're going to remember it because it's your teenage wank fantasy.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't ask the obvious question, though, in this episode, which I'm going to ask just before we go on to the next week's game. If you could teleport anywhere, if you could pick one location in the world that you could, or we have to say two, that you can teleport back and forth between. No, that doesn't work. Hold on, let me do this again. Right, but listen, I haven't asked the obvious question yet, right? If you could pick one location in the world, which always has to stay the same until the day you die, but you can teleport there any time, and it's not your home, where do you pick?
I'm still me, and I've got the money I've got.
Everything else about your life is the same.
I mean, this is like when Rosa asks me who my favourite animal is.
Yeah, it is like
and
that.
And I've got nothing inside.
You've got nothing.
I'm dead inside.
Well, let me help you. You could pick FOP in central London, for example, or you could pick a nice wood or something. I mean, bear in mind, because you can't teleport out of there, it needs to be somewhere that you can actually walk away from. So, you know, it can't just be the middle of nowhere.
I missed that bit. I can't teleport back.
No, you can't teleport back. You can only teleport to that one place. From wherever you are in the world, you can go there.
And then you've got to do the journey home. Why is this the game?
Well... What do you mean? Why is this the game?
You should be able to teleport right back to where you were.
What? Why?
Because otherwise I can't be asked. I'll nowhere.
Well, that's what makes it more interesting. That's why you wouldn't pick Cairo or something, because every time you went there, if you forgot your passport, you'd be back at the English embassy in Cairo again. Oh, you're back again, Adam. Yeah, okay. Come on then. We'll get you another passport and pop you on a flight home. Forgot your wallet as well, did you? Okay, well... You're going to have to work in a market here for a couple of weeks to earn the money. Get in the embassy kitchens, do some plate scrubbing, you know?
Right.
Okay. That sort of thing.
Yeah. So basically you're just picking somewhere in the vicinity of where you live.
Okay, you can teleport back.
Because basically, and then all you're saving is the journey time it takes you to get
okay,
there.
You can teleport back.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. You should be able to teleport back home.
No, because otherwise it's just home. Otherwise home's everyone's answer.
No. The teleport, like landing, your landing spot is home. So wherever you are, I'm at work and I choose my fantasy place to teleport. And then when I teleport back, I return home.
Well, that's just beating commuting.
Fine. Okay, no.
Every time I give you what you want, you add another request.
Okay, fine. Do you teleport back to where you were?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you age, or does everyone else around you?
No, everything else is the same, right? You just go to work, you go to the toilet, you teleport to Thailand, hang out for lunch, and then you teleport back to the toilet at work and hope no one's there.
No. Never been to Thailand, so I wouldn't.
never been to the toilet at work.
Yeah. I just got such a lack of imagination. Like, you can't escape yourself, as this film so rightly says.
That's true. Wherever you go, you're there. I think you should just say, I don't know, Butlins, and then I'll cut that in.
Right, on to the game. This is the part of the podcast where one of us reads out a list of films.
The game.
In the hope of catching out the other person with a movie they forgot. This time, it's me reading out a list. Okay, here we go. Ghost Town.
What's that?
Is that Ricky Gervais?
Oh, do you know what? I actually watched that about 2 months ago and I had completely forgotten it existed because it's so bad, but I won't do that. I won't do it.
The Skeleton Twins.
Never saw it.
Yeah, it's really good. The Grey.
Is that the wolf one? Yeah, never watched it.
24-Hour Party People.
Really love that film. I couldn't ever forget it, unfortunately. And I think if we did that as an episode, I'd spend the entire time talking about the film.
Hannibal.
Never seen it.
Crazy Stupid Love.
Is that with Gozzers?
Gozzers.
Yeah. Gozzers. I don't think so. I think it comes up on things a lot.
The Weatherman.
Don't think I've ever seen that.
Fury.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Fury, the tank film. Fuck, I haven't seen that for a long time. I think you have me with Fury. Also, I remember there being some, other than Petters, there being other stars in that too. Mm.
Yeah, it's meaty. David Ayer directed. You got Shia LaBeouf, John Barenthal in it. I've never wanted to rewatch it. I don't know. It's not, I thought, I didn't really want to get you on that. But I've got you on it. So I would love to have rewatched Ghost Town and got you on that. We could have dug in on Gervais.
I guess so.
I've been your host as ever. And that's bye, Joe.